2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Inside Sources, where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news. Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason
and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community
on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Is the United States prepared for a large-scale cyber attack? The war in Ukraine has Washington nervous that businesses, local governments, and you and me wouldn't quite be ready and prepared to fend off Russian hackers. So what should we be thinking about beyond the headlines to better keep our digital lives and civil society as a whole safe? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again.
Very pleased to have joining us on the program today, Tatiana Bolton. She is a policy director at the R Street Institute, studying cybersecurity and all of those kind of emerging threats. Tatiana, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, there's been increasing warnings about potential cyber attacks coming out of Russia and other places, of course, as things escalate between Russia and Ukraine and as things get ramped up in other parts of the world. You've been looking at this and watching this for a long time, and you wrote some things today that really caught my attention in terms of we've kind of been down some warning routes before and weren't real good at responding to that. How does that apply to some of these warnings that we've heard for quite some time now as it relates to cybersecurity?
Absolutely. So I think that the recent warnings out of the White House and the administration more generally, including the cybersecurity agency, CISA, show us that there are very significant threats from Russia that are aimed at our critical infrastructure. That includes hospitals and the energy sector, finance, but it also could affect your water. They could go after our chemical sector or our dams. So I think we have to be on high alert.
Yeah, and as that high alert warning goes, we haven't always been good at that. You noted today that we were had some of those warnings in terms of a pandemic coming for a long time, and yet we didn't really prepare for the pandemic. Are we finding ourselves in the same spot? Are we hearing the warnings but not really acting? And what should we be doing? What should we be acting on as it relates to these threats?
Well, let me just say that I feel like right now we're a car maybe in like second gear, if anyone drives stick anymore. And we really need to be in fifth gear, right? Like on the highway. And we've done a lot over the course of the last 2 years. So I wouldn't discount all of the preparatory work that that CISA, like I said, the cybersecurity agency, all of the intel community, the Department of Defense, like all of the sector-specific agencies that protect our critical infrastructure have done, and including Congress, who has passed a number of very significant pieces of legislation to create baseline standards, to require the DOD to take a look at what they have internally to make sure that they are bolstering our offensive cybersecurity capabilities. We've required cyber incident reporting as recently as this month. So we've done a lot. So we're in the best position we have been for a long time. But again, we're kind of stuck in like second gear. We need to really get everybody on board with doing all of the right kinds of things. And that's not just Congress and the White House and the executive branch, but that also means just the average everyday citizens that need to turn on two-factor authentication, use encrypted communications and things like that, making sure companies that are owners and operators of critical infrastructure especially are using the best cybersecurity standards so that we can make sure that our entire ecosystem is secure.
I think that's so important. And as one of those who was a regular clutch popper and the herky-jerky motion that comes out of that I think that's where some of us have been. I think a lot of small businesses in particular and individuals, like you point out, we've maybe done a few little things here and there, little flurries and flourishes, but we really haven't gotten into fifth gear. And when you mention things like, you know, this could impact water, I think that's where suddenly people have to stop and think, well, okay, wait a minute. This is, this could impact my daily living and what's going on. What are some of the things that we should be looking at individually, or what are the things that businesses, in particular small businesses, you know, who don't have these big staffs or big budgets, what are the things we should be looking at in terms of security there?
Yeah, so I think both consumers and small and medium-sized business owners can do a lot in order to secure their networks. One is creating secure passwords, and that seems so simple, and yet somehow is still so complicated. We are still getting hit through attacks that are brute force, hacking just people's passwords. If your password is security 123, I'm going to tell you, you're very much at risk of getting.
You are the problem. Yeah.
You are the problem. You need to change that password. That also means on your routers at home, on your computer, on your laptop, especially on your bank account. For small and medium-sized businesses, I'd say that's extremely true. And also, other things they could be doing are going to secure online cloud services instead of trying to do their own cybersecurity, right? Mm-hmm. Because those online cloud services can provide the security that you can't do yourself. Unless you're ready to hire a CISO who's got the experience that is necessary to make sure all of your networks are secure in-house, it's much better to outsource that to a large corporation and do something like Google or Microsoft services that provide cloud, or AWS, that provide cloud services within your sort of traditional email system, that you don't have to go and be a cybersecurity expert to protect your business.
Yeah, so important. And I think it's especially challenging for, again, small businesses and for people with the technology changing at the rate that it is. Is there any kind of plan or system, or should we be looking to something to help with that ever-evolving technology and making sure that we have security to match?
Again, that's sort of an all hands-on-deck situation, but obviously the majority of that will rest with the regulatory bodies to try and keep up with what's going on. AI, quantum, all these other technologies that are coming online. We're trying to do a lot to try and address new technologies, but it may require looking at our policies, making sure that we are giving smart guidance to small and medium-sized businesses, and also to states and localities who are often most at risk, not only because they don't have the money and the resources to put cybersecurity safeguards in place, but sometimes don't even have the policies or strategies for cybersecurity to begin with.
I'm so glad you pointed out the localities, the local governments, the small governments, again, that often don't have that, and they're often dealing with a lot of those pieces of the infrastructure that are critical for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent insight.
Absolutely. And you see Baltimore getting hacked, Atlanta, even New York City's metro got hacked, the subway system, their networks. And so, you know, you see Oldsmar Water Plant get hacked in Florida. There's all kinds of these examples all over the country, and many of which we probably haven't even heard about because incident reporting hasn't been required up until, you know, a few weeks ago. So, you know, it's very critical that localities and states and leaders in those areas take cybersecurity as seriously as they take physical security, because they're much more likely to get hacked than they are to get broken into, almost, in most situations. And so there has been $1 billion that was just distributed or passed by Congress for states and state and local cybersecurity efforts. So I really hope that that will incentivize the uptake of a lot of these different ideas and policies.
So important. And that reporting component, that transparency is also, I think, such a critical piece of this puzzle. Just real quickly, as we wrap up, before we let you go, Tatiana, anything else that you're watching or looking for, especially as it relates to Russia or China at the moment, that you're going to be kind of having your eyes on in the weeks ahead?
Well, obviously, with the Biden administration press statement and the statement by Ann Neuberger, the cybersecurity director in the White House, about the threats from Russia and the relationship that Russia has with China, I'm very concerned about where China will come in the cybersecurity arena to try and support Russia's efforts in Ukraine. So, you know, I'm really hoping that the, you know, diplomatic efforts and deterrence efforts from the United States and its allies have been successful so that we keep China out of this conflict. I think it would be extremely detrimental to the world, really, especially the United States and Ukraine, for China to jump into this conflict. And I'm definitely keeping my eye on that.
Fantastic. Tatiana Bolton's the policy director at R Street Institute, focusing primarily on cybersecurity. Fantastic insight, and we will definitely be having you back as this continues to unfold. Crucial for all of us on so many levels. Tatiana, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
So important. We've been talking for years. We need to prepare. We didn't do it for the pandemic. We weren't ready. We've been warned that we need to be ready for a cyber attack. I don't think we're ready yet. A lot to be done there. Stay with us as we continue with the conversation here on KSL News Radio. A new program is aiming to cut poverty and fix the labor shortage by linking businesses with people they might not have considered before. We'll talk with the Salt Lake Chamber CEO, Derek Miller, about an amazing new opportunity coalition coming up next.
Think again with Lloyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.